As school is about to start, are you thinking about what kids are being taught, especially when it comes to history? Well, you certainly should, because a great value rests in a factual understanding about history. Another question for you. Would you say that the Holocaust is a vital period of history? It certainly is. Okay, promise, one more question. Out of our 50 states and the District of Columbia, how many have actual mandates when it comes to schools teaching about the Holocaust? No, only 23, believe it or not, and there are those who say some of those mandates are ineffective. Here with us now to talk about the importance of teaching about the Holocaust is the founding director of the Holocaust Education Center, which is a project of Stand With Us, Matthew Leibovich. How are you today, Matt?
Good. Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
StandWithUs.com. Learn more about Stand With Us overall and specifically about their Holocaust Education Center, which if you are a teacher or school administrator, I hope you will find a great deal of importance in and guidance from, and we'll get to some of that in a moment. I did want to start with some stats, Matthew, because if you look at some of the studies and reports from places like the Anti-Defamation League, and you look at the yearly reports of anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic incidents, you go back 10 years, you see it ranging between 750, 950, but then from 2017 on, those numbers skyrocket to the most recent stat being 2,717 incidents of anti-Semitism. The ADL also has tracked so far 1,352 acts of anti-Semitism this year. And that, again, is only so far. If you look at the states where anti-Semitism is most prevalent, the list is led by New York, then New Jersey, California, Florida, Michigan, and Texas. With all these actions going on that are just toxic and evil, Matthew, an absence of true education about the Holocaust, that's going to leave a great number of minds open prey for these people who are just spewing evil.
There's just a lot of ignorance and unawareness, unfortunately, among students today who are just not being taught what took place during World War II. And because of that, we see a lot of students doing things such as drawing swastikas, giving the Heil Hitler salute, making Holocaust jokes, tormenting Jewish peers of theirs. And it's gotten very severe the past few years. And there's Holocaust denial compounding it. You know, this notion that the Holocaust did not take place. So we definitely have seen an uptick in attacks against Jews, in rhetoric, in vandalism. And I believe a lot of it is tied to lack of awareness about anti-Semitism and the Holocaust.
And anti-Semitism, acts of anti-Semitism, or the communication of its ideology isn't always loud and violent. You have so-called mainstream politicians who are openly praising quotes from Hitler, whether or not they know it's actually a quote from Hitler. They can deny it all they want, but denial doesn't eliminate truth. You have it's called the Great Replacement Theory, which in effect is a philosophy of anti-Semitism.
Yes. We had the past few years that have been very alarming because we've seen this anti-Semitic discourse, on both sides of the political spectrum creep in. Jews have space lasers. Jews are trying to replace white people with black people. All of these horrible, these lies that, they're words, but they're words that lead to violence. We know that the Tree of Life Synagogue attack in Pittsburgh, where many Jewish worshipers were killed several years ago, we know that that killer was inspired by the Great Replacement Theory and, the anti-Semitic hate speech that he read online. That's what motivated him to go carry that attack out. So it's people want to think, oh, these are only words. They're not. But no, these words lead to murder.
And the reason why the acts are becoming more and more increasing is because the communication of these toxic ideals, everything from denial to hatred, is just spreading to more and more ways. And done, I guess they used to say, too, back in the day of the Klan really being active and hopping, the Klan went from wearing white sheets to suit and ties so more people would listen to them. A lot of cases, that's what the people who are practitioners of the belief system of Nazis and anti-Semitism, seems like what they're doing, too. They've gone from T-shirts to suit and ties, and some cases even mainstream media.
Yeah, it could be. It's much more subtle than people have expected in the past, which is part of the problem. And it could, you know, it's peddled as truth. Sometimes, if it comes out of a legislator's mouth, people might believe it. So it's entered a new realm, really. That as the country's become more polarized, you see anti-Semitism really become much more normalized. Is the word people are using and commonplace, which is very scary.
Talking with Matthew Leibovic, who is the founding director of the Holocaust Education Center. That's a project of Stand With Us. Their website, standwithus.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning over to what your work is all about with the Holocaust Education Center, mentioned that 23 states out of the 50-plus D.C. have actual mandates when it comes to teaching the Holocaust. Some have, a handful were on the books back in the 90s, and I think California was the first in 1985. But the bulk of those mandates have come about in the last 3 to 4 years. Some of them effective, others limit the recognition of the time in history to a week. There's the Texas law, which says, yeah, you can teach about the Holocaust, but you have to teach about opposing views, which I guess means Holocaust deniers, which doesn't exactly help the cause much. But what are some of the points that you like to focus on through the work of Stand With Us and the focus that you guys have for this issue?
Sure. Well, what we do is we want to make it incredibly easy for teachers to bring us in to give our 23 different presentations. A lot of times teachers have to be trained or maybe travel somewhere or maybe even pay for some kind of online course in order to learn enough to effectively teach the Holocaust. We recognize that that's not realistic for most teachers to make that commitment. So a teacher could call me, let's say tonight, a teacher anywhere in the country could call me tonight and literally book me via Zoom for tomorrow on any of the presentations or a custom-made presentation I can give, you know, based on the issues in that school or what the teacher is seeing. Perhaps that they're reading The Diary of Anne Frank, but the teacher doesn't know much about the Holocaust. I can come in the next day and give them an in-depth look at Auschwitz and what happened to Anne Frank after her diary. So we're trying to meet teachers where they're at. We're trying to make zero barrier, you know, for us to come in and meet with the students. And the other thing we're trying to do is modernize Holocaust education with really what we call an interdisciplinary approach, which means that we're studying the Holocaust from any subject imaginable. Of course, you could go into English class and read Elie Wiesel's Night, but we're also talking about psychology and social studies and archaeology. A lot of archaeology is going on at this day at the Holocaust killing sites in Europe. So once we broaden that approach to interdisciplinary, the door is a bit open for Holocaust education to be year-round and involve a lot more students and really to build resilience in the students, to make them upstanders, to speak out against hate as they see it. We don't want Holocaust education to be a one-day-a-year, you know, memorial that once a year people think about. We think that the Holocaust is a global happening, a global importance, and that it can be studied from many different ways by students throughout the year.
And I like how the programs range, too, from the elements that led up to the evil actions, the impact of those actions, and the aftermath too. You have a wide range to give a complete picture, which is what history is always worthy of. Are there certain specific grade levels based upon whatever the specific topic is?
Yes, we want to start in middle school. We want to start in middle school. We're also in high school. We do think middle school is particularly important to junior high school, middle school, just because they haven't had a Holocaust education yet. So a lot of our presentations are really geared towards 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and some of them are project-oriented, so the students can make some kind of project or response afterwards and send it to us.
And this is so important, too, because obviously the actual victims, witnesses, people around that time of this era in history, they're passing away more and more rapidly. And when that finally happens, where that last person goes away, boy, that's just going to open the door wide for anyone who wants to be a denier or the anti-Semites to start spewing more and more fire. So it's just that much more vital that the facts and the truth about this time of history be known to as many people as possible.
Exactly. And you just made me think of President Eisenhower. When Eisenhower, you know, was commanding the Allies, and when he went to these concentration camps and liberate them, he said, we need to film what's going on. We need to bring the Germans in the town into the concentration camp, because someday some bastard, that's his language,
yes,
will deny that this took place. So you're absolutely right. We're at that day now. We're at that day where there are no more eyewitnesses. And it's up to, you know, to educators and, you know, to make sure that doesn't happen.
A little trivia here, strangely enough, movie trivia. There was a film with Orson Welles and Edward G. Robinson in 1946 called The Stranger. Welles portrayed a college professor who was actually a Nazi trying to hide his identity. And Robinson was a reporter, not actually a Nazi hunter, that was trying to out him. Part of the film included, for the first time ever, this was 1946, long after the concentration camps were liberated, actual film of the concentration camps, which in 1946, that was the first time Americans actually ever saw the reality of that time of history. That was a pretty long period of span of time before the words of that, those actions, and the scenes from those actions actually came to people's vision, and they could see it and appreciate it. Again, that's the value of the history that Matthew and his organization Stand With Us and the Holocaust Education Center, they are working to help raise awareness, maintain awareness, make that awareness permanent, because that's the way to combat the rise of evil that continues to this day against the Jewish people through the various acts of anti-Semitism. Want to find out more about how to bring the work of Stand With Us and the Holocaust Education Center to your school? They're at the ready when you go to standwithus.com. You can contact Matthew. They have a great PDF presentation, too, of the various programs that they offer with details and video, so you can learn more. And by all means, I encourage you to bring this program into your school if you're in New Jersey, if you're listening on the stream elsewhere, because it's the important parts of history that cannot be diluted, confused, or torn apart for some sort of evil purpose. And Matthew, you and Stand With Us are helping keep that from happening. StandWithUs.com. Matthew Leibovich, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Chris. Really, this is an important issue, and I really appreciate you giving the time for it.